religious kind of music has appeared to my knowledge that displays the same power and beauty as yours.
And with his close friend August Jaeger's help and coercion, the young composer created a glorious music drama, a personal yet universal celebration of faith. The dream of Gerontius, from a city that has made it its own. The City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra and Chorus, with a cast of soloists, including Sarah Connolly. Thursday night's Radio 3 live in concert on BBC Radio 3 from 7:30.
And we're on 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and also online. Just gone 1 o'clock. Time for the news from Vaughan Savage.
One of the biggest teaching unions in the UK, the NASUWT, has backed proposals which could mean strike action in schools in the autumn. Delegates meeting in Birmingham today voted in support of a motion calling for industrial action to be intensified over a range of issues, including pay and pensions. The National Union of Teachers is also due to discuss further strikes at its annual conference in Torquay. A huge rescue operation is underway in the Himalayas after an avalanche buried a remote Pakistani military base, trapping 117 soldiers inside. The men were stationed at a battalion headquarters near the Siachen Glacier in the disputed Kashmir region. There's been no official confirmation of the number of dead, but one army spokesman had said some bodies have been recovered. Anti-government forces in Burma have met the president, Thein Sein, for the first time, in what's seen as a big step towards resolving one of the world's longest conflicts. On Friday, the Karen rebels and the government agreed on measures to turn their currency ceasefire into a permanent peace deal. The leader of the Roman Catholic Church in Scotland is appealing for Christians to wear a cross on their clothes every day as a symbol of their beliefs. Cardinal Keith O'Brien is criticising what he claims are efforts to remove religion from public life. Reports from Syria say that government forces have shelled a central town, killing more than 20 people. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said that soldiers were attempting to storm the town of Latamna in Hama province, where army defectors have been holding out. The 158th boat race will go ahead in London later this afternoon, with defending champions Oxford favourites to retain the crown. Cambridge lead Oxford by 80 victories to 76 in the annual contest on the River Thames, but Oxford have won 7 of the last 10 races. The weather, it'll be a rather cloudy afternoon with patchy rain or showers in the northwest of England and Scotland. The southwest of England should see some bright or sunny spells. The BBC News and Weather at 1:03.
And so to the first of this weekend's Easter editions of the Early Music Show. Today, Catherine Bott turns her attention to the 16th century composer Orlando de Lassus.
According to his friend Dr. Watson, Sherlock Holmes, having saved the nation by unravelling the mystery of the stolen Bruce Partington plans,
returned refreshed to his monograph upon the polyphonic motets of Lassus, which has since been printed for private circulation and is said by experts to be the last word upon the subject.
A great analytical mind getting to grips with one of the most gifted composers of the Renaissance. Alas, only in fiction. I can't bring you any news on the content of that learned monograph. But isn't it fascinating to speculate about why the music of Lassus should make such appeal to the mind of Sherlock Holmes?
Thank you.
The choir of King's College, Cambridge, conducted by Philip Ledger, singing plangent words from the Gospel of St. Matthew. My soul is sorrowful, even unto death. Tristis est anima mea, by the composer who's the subject of today's early music show, Orland de Lassus. Orland, or Roland de Lassus, was born in 1532 in the Franco-Flemish province of Hainaut, which today is in Belgium. His real name was probably Roland de Lattre, and you've probably heard him referred to as Orlando di Lasso. Well, he did spend quite a while in Rome. I'm going to follow Sherlock Holmes and stick with Lassus for today's programme. Sherlock would probably have had to have brought in his brother Mycroft for assistance in getting to the bottom of all the wishful thinking about the early life of young Orland. Excitingly, he's supposed to have been kidnapped no fewer than 3 times in his childhood, solely because of the beauty of his singing voice. Well, the region of his birth was famous for producing an above-average number of great Renaissance musicians, and he may have been a chorister at his local church. But sadly, the prosaic truth is that the first single known fact about Lassus is that at the age of about 12, he entered the service of the Italian Gonzaga family and was taken to the courts of Mantua and Milan. I'll continue his life story a little later on. More music now. Lassus had an almost unparalleled gift for setting words of all kinds to music, and he had a special affinity with the work of the 14th century Italian poet Petrarch, setting more than 60 of his poems. This is his setting of the sonnet Ivo piangendo i miei passati tempi, a restrained and thoughtful lament of a dying man for his life's misdeeds.
Thank you.
Paul van Nevel directed the Huelgas ensemble in that setting of a Petrarch sonnet by Lassus. Lassus must have been introduced to Petrarch's poetry in his early teens, as he began his itinerant life in the service of General Ferrante Gonzaga. Over a five-year period, they spent time in Paris, Mantua and Sicily, and Lassus mixed with the Gonzaga musical household, headed by the madrigalist Oste d'Areggio. There's no evidence of formal musical studies, but Lassus's next move was to prove fruitful. He went to Naples to work for Constantino Castriotto, and it was there that he began to write music. Suddenly, his career path was clear. He was not to be a courtier, but a composer. He left Naples and headed for Rome, where he was appointed chapelmaster at the Church of St. John Lateran. Quite a coup for a young man. He must have been well thought of already. Here's an Eastertide motet, Surgens Jesus. Christ our Lord, having risen, standing in the midst of his disciples, said, "Peace be with you. Alleluia." Pro Canzione Antiqua, directed by Bruno Turner, in a brilliant example of the young Lassus's talent, the motet Surgens Jesus. All the signs were that Lassus would enjoy a long and successful career as a church musician in Rome, but after little more than a year, he returned home after learning that his parents were ill. Sadly, by the time he got there, they were both dead, and his next move was a short hop to Antwerp, where he made friends with Tilman Susato, who in 1555 published his collection of madrigals and motets for four voices, followed by a collection of five- and six-part motets. In our media-saturated age, it's hard to grasp the huge significance of publication to an ambitious young composer of the 16th century. Lassus was still only in his mid-20s, and the dissemination of his secular music, combined with his reputation as a church musician, meant that his name was made. So he was headhunted by none other than Duke Albrecht V of Bavaria, which meant a move to Munich. Lassus was initially appointed only to sing tenor in the chapel choir, but he would rise steadily to become maestro di cappella, a job he held until the day of his death in 1594. This had to be one of the best musical jobs in the world at the time, possibly of all time. Lassus was in charge of some 70 singers and players, so he had talent on call at any time to write for and try ideas out on. He was befriended by the Duke, given a great deal of latitude, and established in a comfortable way of life that he never seriously considered changing. He even married a local Bavarian girl, and their sons grew up to be musicians. The Hilliard Ensemble in music from the Missa pro Defunctis by Lassus. You're listening to the Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott, and today I'm looking at Orlando Lassus, a composer who had the best job in the world, given license to make music all day and every day by a cultured, sympathetic, and wealthy employer. Lassus was hugely prolific in all sorts of repertoire, and the quickest way to express that is by looking at his substantial entry in Grove's Dictionary of Music and Musicians, which has whole sections devoted in turn to masses, passions, magnificat settings, motets, difficult to assess by reason of their enormous number, apparently, madrigals, chansons, and German lieder. Prolific but never prolix, he's been praised for his economy of utterance. And that economy is used to great effect in his passion-tired music, to depict bleakness almost beyond bearing. We've already heard the joyous Alleluia that accompanies the risen Christ in the motet Surgens Jesus. Now we turn to an earlier moment in the story, and Lassus's setting of the Passion according to St. Matthew, first published in 1575, and so popular that it was still being performed with added instrumental continuo in 1743. In his St. Matthew Passion, Lassus writes choral music in five parts for the people of Jerusalem, while the main characters of the drama, Peter, Judas and so on, sing duos and trios, and the words of Christ and the narrative of the evangelist are sung in chant. In the section we're going to hear now, Christ is on the cross, with the mocking sign above his head proclaiming him King of the Jews. He cries out to his Father, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" and gives up the ghost. Only then does the crowd realise that, truly, this was the Son of God. Paul Elliott is the evangelist, Paul Hillier Christus, with the Theatre of Voices.
Thank you. Thank you.
part of the St. Matthew Passion by Lassus, with Paul Hillier directing the Theatre of Voices. We know from surviving letters that Lassus was a lively, good-humoured man who made little of his considerable erudition and gift for languages, although he couldn't resist signing himself variously Orlando Lasso col cor non basso, that's Orlando Lasso with a heart that's not low, or Secrétaire Public Orlando Magnifique, which sadly can't be made to rhyme in English. As a composer of sacred music, however, he was always reverent. Our next music comes from his Lamentations of Jeremiah. In the liturgy of the Roman Catholic Church, there are two main penitential seasons, in Advent for the birth of Jesus and in Lent for his death. The climax of Lent is reached in the last 3 days of Holy Week, when in the office of Matins, the Lamentations of Jeremiah are appointed to be sung on Maundy Thursday, Good Friday and Holy Saturday. Each setting is in three movements, and each ends with the cry, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, turn to the Lord your God. Pro Cancione Antiqua, sing the third lamentation for Holy Saturday. The Third Lamentation of Jeremiah for Holy Saturday. Bruno Turner directed Pro Canzione Antiqua. Life in Munich must have been hugely enjoyable for Lassus. His marriage was happy, he had 6 children, he was handsomely rewarded for doing a job he loved, surrounded by the best singers and musicians. Above all, he had the great bonus of a musical employer whom he could call his friend. Duke Albrecht was so generous to his musical household that he was regarded with some scorn by neighbouring royalty. He was proud to have Lassus at his court and positively encouraged him to collate all his compositions for orderly publication and to make extended trips to recruit singers and players. And Lassus's music was known and admired throughout Europe. Munich was no backwater, not while Duke Albrecht ruled. The final music in today's programme comes from his last masterpiece, written in the year of his death. A cycle of 20 madrigali spirituali and a concluding motet called Lagrime di San Pietro, The Tears of St. Peter. The poems, on Peter's denial of Christ and his subsequent grief and guilt, are by the Italian poet Luigi Tansillo. In this work, Lassus offers up all his technical skills to the service of spirituality, with numerical symbolism underpinning the whole structure. It's written for 7 voices to represent the 7 joys of Mary, and many of the madrigals are in 7 sections. The total number of pieces is 21, which is 7 times the number of the Holy Trinity. And there's more. Lassus employs only 7 of the 8 church modes to underline the essential imperfection of St. Peter and of all humankind. This is the 10th of the Tears of St. Peter, Come falda di neve. Like a snowflake melting to water in the spring sun, so the fear in Peter's heart dissolved into tears when Christ turned his eyes on him. The Wellgas Ensemble, directed by Paul van Nevel, singing one of the Tears of St. Peter by Lassus. During the happy years of his working life under Duke Albrecht, Lassus resisted many attempts to lure him away from Bavaria. He was showered with honours, an imperial patent of nobility, a papal knighthood. Even when Albrecht died, to be succeeded by his parsimonious son Wilhelm, Lassus wrote to the Duke of Saxony that he didn't want to leave his house, his garden, and other good things in Munich, and that he was beginning to feel old. He continued on good terms with Duke Wilhelm, but the ducal chapel was now a much more modest affair. Albrecht had left provision for Lassus to receive his salary for life, even after retirement, but his son couldn't honour that generosity. It's believed that on the day Lassus died, Wilhelm wrote a letter of dismissal. He couldn't afford to keep him on. Mercifully, Lassus never saw it. Two of his sons succeeded him at court and published their father's complete motets. Returning finally to the motet that ends the Tears of St. Peter, the whole work is at once the summation of a great career and a valediction. Just weeks before his death in May 1594, Lassus dedicated the work to Pope Clement, and he never heard its first performance. It ends with music which expresses Christ's reproach to Peter and to humankind. Man, see what I suffer for your sake. Dying for you, there is no pain like mine. But though my outer affliction is great, inwardly I suffer even more when I feel your ingratitude. Paul van Nevel directs the Wellgas Ensemble in Vide Homo by Lassus.
Thank you.
The final motet from the Lagrime di San Pietro, The Tears of St. Peter, by Orlando de Lassus. It was performed by the Welgus Ensemble, directed by Paul van Nevel. And today's early music show was presented by Catherine Bott and produced by Chris Wines. Well, in tomorrow's programme, Lucy Skeeping offers an anthology of early music for the Easter period, featuring music from a diverse range of musicians from Willem de Fes to Pergolesi. The Easter Sunday edition of the Early Music Show, just after the 1 o'clock news tomorrow. This is BBC Radio 3. We come now to a second opportunity to hear last Monday's lunchtime recital. It was given at Wigmore Hall in London by the Foray Quartet, Erika Geldsetzer, violin, Dirk Mommerts, piano, Sascha Frömmling, viola, and Konstantin Heidrich, cello. And there are two works in their programme, the Piano Quartet in A Minor by Joseph Suk, his Opus 1, and Dvořák's Piano Quartet No. 2 in E-flat, Opus 87. Well, Suk was a student of Dvořák's, and in 1891, Dvořák set Suk and his classmates some composition homework, and it was to come back to him with a piece of fully-fledged chamber music. Dvořák was so impressed by Suk's piano quartet, which he offered, that he chose it for that year's graduation awards concert. And the thumbs up from his teacher evidently gave Suk a real boost to his confidence, and he promptly numbered his piano quartet his Opus 1, which was his first published piece. A real landmark in any composer's output. So let's hear it now, performed by the Foray Quartet.